Well, since we did John 3:16, let's turn over to Psalms this morning. Been reading this particular scripture verse. Psalm 34 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 34. Let's read that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Now, continually, we've shared this, continually sounds like a lifestyle. If something's a lifestyle and it's continually, then that means if there's a lifestyle change, how many know what that means? If there's a lifestyle change, that means you stop doing one thing and you start doing something else in its place. So if somebody is... wants to make a lifestyle change, then one needs to stop doing one thing and do something else in order for there to be a change. So in order for somebody to be someone who's continually praising all the time, then that may mean you're a complainer all the time. You're a grumbler. And the only way you're going to make a change to be someone who's praising all the time is that you're going to have to make a change. Now, you may not be grumbling and complaining all the time, but this says, I will bless the Lord at all times. So there's no space for complaining. And although some of us, I will say, dip in and out of that every now and then, based on pressure and circumstances. And so in order to make a change to that, we have to make a change in our heart and our thinking. As a man thinketh in his what? In his heart. So is he. So we'll see some scriptures this morning that bear that out, that as we think, sometimes in our own eyes and in looking at the situation, we talk about it. And so we spent some lessons, a few lessons on this particular scripture. Today I want to focus a little bit on verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So we're still talking about praise, a life of praise. So when we look at this word boast, if you look it up in the Strong's, if you look it up in the definition, it's halal, which means to praise, to boast. And one might say, okay, well, what does boast mean? It means to brag or to rave about something. And one thing I've found is that those things that you're impressed with, you're going to brag about. You know, we see that now. Young children, they boast about basketball players. I want to be, what was that saying? I want to be like Mike. Well, now it's somebody else. And or I want to be like this. Whatever you're impressed with, whatever you're enthused with, you're going to talk about. You're going to boast about it. Could be, it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a thing. Could be your house. Could be your car. Could be your job. Whatever you're enthused about, you're going to boast about it. You're going to talk about it. And that's okay as long as you keep it in perspective. You don't want to be boasting about that all the time. There's nothing wrong with being enthused about something. But my point is, whatever you're enthused about, you're going to talk about. Could be music. You know, a lot of people are enthused about music. I am. And I may get a, boy, did you, I'll, email, Brother Morris, did you see this? Did you hear this? And he'll send something back to me. Well, we're enthused about anointed music. But we need to keep that in perspective. Who are we supposed to boast in? The Lord. And so we need to boast in Him. Because if we don't, we get it out of perspective. We're getting it out of kilt. We're supposed to, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, if you look up this here, to magnify or to boast, it just means to increase with significance. So when we boast or magnify something, we're boasting about that. We're making that to have some significance. And so whatever you talk about, whatever you boast about, that's in the positive. But folks are boasting about things all the time. And now let me give you an example. The doctor says you have something in your body and there's no hope. There's no hope. And folks will talk about that, which is what? Boasting. They boast about it. Say, well, there's no hope. And so the question becomes, do you want to boast about that, or are you going to boast about God? Are you going to boast about Him and what He can do? I don't think one wants to boast about sickness or disease. And it's easy for folks to do when there's no hope. And sometimes, just if you listen to things day in, day out, hour after hour after hour after hour, faith comes by hearing, and you're going to start talking about it. There's no hope. We can't get by this. It could be you're out of a job. We've had here members here that call and say, you know, I'm out of a job. Okay, what are you doing about it? Now, there's natural things that you can do. You can put out feelers for a job and do things. That's all good. But you better boast about your God. You better boast about what He's already promised you, because that's what's going to put you over. You know, I shared this recently. Sometimes in the area of believing God, it's so easy, it is easy for God to heal you. It is easy for God to bring money to you. It's easy. As a man thinketh, if you think it's difficult, then it will be. Not in his ability, not in his eyes, but in your eyes. In your eyes, it's hard, because that's how you think. But if you think, my God is big, my God has dealt and answered me before, and He'll do it again. This is easy for God to solve this problem. This easy for God to heal this marriage. Now, if you think it's difficult for you, because how you think. And you will talk about it and boast about it and praise it like it's difficult. It's a Goliath to you. But one of the things, faith, if it's operated properly, it's easy. And when I say that, I say it in this way. Sometimes, and I include myself in this, I'm learning. Sometimes we grab for the whole thing. We grab for something to be totally restored all at once. We want our finances totally restored all at once. We want our bodies healed all at once. And you haven't developed your faith in that area. in the area of finances or healing. And guess what? Unless God works sovereignly on your behalf, be it unto you according to your faith. And if your faith hasn't been developed to the degree that it needs to be in this area, you won't receive. That's just the plain facts. And that's why we have faith failures. That's why we have people who say, it ain't working. I've been believing God. I'm trusting God. It ain't working. Now, two things can happen. You might be in faith and you give up. You have need of patience. But there's also sometimes we grab for too much. And one needs to examine and see, can I believe for that? Can I trust God and expect Him to do this? Because if you can't, take something a little smaller. Take a little bite. Take something a little smaller. Believe God. And then shout when you get the victory. Then take another little step. Grab for that. Believe it, receive it, shout, take another step. And you keep taking these little steps, and you're going to walk yourself right out of what you were believing for the whole. You'll still get there, but you're going to do it little step by little step by little step by little step. Now you say, well, show me. Go to Numbers 13 and 14. You don't have to go there. Don't be so busy, just listen. I meant to say, go there on your own time. God said, I've given you the land. Did they take it all at once? No. They took it battle by battle, by battle, by battle, by battle. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You're trying to take the whole land in one gulp. You need to take it little by little by little by little by little. Some are trying to believe for a whole chunk of money and you haven't believed for $5. You haven't exercised that. Some of you are believing for kidney dialysis or not kidney dialysis, but kidney issues and you haven't believed God for a cold. You understand my point? I'm not trying to make fun of someone or their situation, but you need to exercise your faith. Sometimes when people are in a hospital, maybe all they can believe for is for the pain to stop. That's it. Maybe that's it. Let's just believe for the pain to stop. And then maybe if you've got arthritis, instead of just believing for the whole thing, maybe just believe that the next day you can fix your bed without aching. You understand what my point is? Take little steps. Take little steps. Take little steps. And boast in God when you get a victory. That's my point. That we boast in God. Because what can happen is, your faith can be affected when you don't see results and you give up. Folks give up. I saw something this week on the internet. I don't know if it was Pastor Greg showed me or I showed him. I don't remember. But it was about this young girl, a teenager. And I thought, now this is sad. This is really, it troubled me when I first read it. It said, atheist teenager, 16 years old, is bringing some kind of, I don't know if it's a lawsuit or she got the ACLU involved for some high school in Rhode Island because they put up some little saying that they've had since the 50s. That was just kind of a very positive statement, and at the end it said, you know, something like, you know, thank God or and, you know, in God we trust, or something like that, right? She took offense to that. And I said, why would a 16-year-old come up, why would a 16-year-old take that position? Well, if you read the further down in the article, you found out. She said, I became an atheist as a 16-year-old. I stopped believing in God when I was 10. I said, 10? You know why? She said, because people told me that when you pray to God, He hears you and answers. He didn't answer my mommy, so I'm mad at God. And I thought, now that's sad. That's sad. And so now she's become a mouthpiece for the world. And I said, uh-uh. We need to get up and talk about and boast about our God and not be quiet and influence people with that. Praise God. So you're going to talk about, you're going to be enthused about those things that you're going to boast about those things that you're enthused about. You know what? Let's go over to Numbers. Let's go over to Numbers 13. I wasn't going to go there, but let's go there anyways. Because I think it's a good story, a good example here. And let's start with verse 25. And this is after the 12 spies returned. And it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them or shewed them the fruit of the land. Interesting. What did they bring back? Excuse me? The fruit? They brought back the fruit of the land? You just read it. What did they bring back? A word. They showed him the fruit, but what did they bring back? A word. That's what the scripture says. See, so often I've said it. Oh yeah, they brought back the fruit of the land, blah, blah. But the scripture here says, and brought back word. Uh-huh. They brought back a word. Unto who? Unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof, or the fruit of it. Nevertheless, but the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And by that time, Caleb had had enough. Sometimes you need to still the conversation. The doctor said this, and he said this, and I got to have this, and I got to do this. And you listen just about long enough, you need to say, hush. Let me tell you about what God said. And you may say, well, where does hush come in? Well, I'll tell you. The word stilled, if you look it up in the Hebrew, means hush. That's what it means. Stilled means hush, keep silence, be silent, hold your peace. It means to command to be silent. And at some point, you need to hush. And so that's what Caleb did. It said, Caleb stilled, he hushed the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, For they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report of the land. So these other 10 brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. How'd they know that? How'd they know that? They didn't know that. They exaggerated. And all of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, if you look up evil report, one of the words that caught my attention, if you just look it up in the Strong's concordance of Hebrew and Greek words, evil report means whispering and defamation. Defamation is slander. They were slandering the report of God. And some of us need to watch it, because if God said you are healed and you say otherwise, you're slandering what God said about you. And that's not good. Gets quiet. But it's so anyhow. When we say something other than what God said, he gave them the land. Now, here's the thing. If you go back to the beginning of that chapter, and you go to the beginning of chapter 13, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. He handpicked this country for them, this area. He handpicked it and said, I give it to you. And they said, we're not well able to do it. We can't do it. That was an evil report. That was a slander against what God said. And if you notice, God didn't tell them. He said, I give it to you. But he didn't tell them who was in the land. He didn't even tell them there were inhabitants in the land. He didn't tell them. He said, here's the land. Go in. I give it to you. He didn't tell them that there were giants in the land. He didn't tell them there was opposition. He just said, I give it to you. And there's some of you that God has given something. He don't tell you there's opposition along the way. He just tells you it's yours. Take it. And some of us give up because we run into some opposition and we go, God, what is this? And he said, I already gave it to you. Go in and take it. It's yours. What are you complaining about? And we complain because there's a little opposition. In some cases, strong opposition. But some of us need to stick with it. Stick with it. If God promised it to you, then it's yours. If he said healing is yours, it's yours. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare let it go. If he's given you a business, and he's promised it to you, and he's authorized it, well, it may come with some opposition. So what? Who's greater? The opposition or the one who promised it? I'm going to stick with him. He's on my side. Nothing is impossible with God and to those that believe in him. So they brought up an evil report. If you look up the word slander, just look it up in the dictionary, it says the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Well, you're not going to damage God's reputation, but in the sight of people, you will. You're going to talk about what he can't do. And God took this child home. Oh, please. No, that's an evil report. Now, this is one of the things that I wanted to share this morning and focus on a little bit this morning. Turn over to Proverbs 18. Well, before you go there, just hold steady. Hold steady. Let's look at chapter 14 in Numbers. But before I go on, just jump, I'm moving too fast here. And continuing in verse 14, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept because of this evil report. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword?" Oh, please. "That our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Thank God. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." Now look at verse 9. "Only rebel not, ye, against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Oh, yeah, that's faith talking. See, you meditate and talk about and complain about your problem, that's what you're going to focus on. Fear focuses on the need. Fear focuses on the lack. Fear focuses on the disease. Unbelief focuses on the problem. Unbelief focuses on a problem. Faith focuses on God. Faith magnifies God. Faith expects a change, so it praises God. When we're in faith, we praise God, because we're expecting him to change something. Faith-filled words will put you over. And if our praise is filled with faith, it'll put us over. Now, let's go over to Proverbs 18. And one of the things I wanted to just look at for a few moments is Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. And you can see just exactly, looking at it in light of Numbers 13, you can see exactly what happened here. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, it says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with" what? "The fruit of his mouth." Or you could say, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the praise of his mouth." "And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." So there needs to be an increase of your lips shall you be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it shall eat the fruit thereof. One of the things that you can see here with Numbers is that they complained and they got exactly what they decreed. It came to pass. They said, we're going to die in this land. And they did. Now, you think about this. I thought about it, and I thought, boy, you think it's hard to be around negative people. Joshua and Caleb had to walk with them folks for 40 years. A bunch of complaining folks walking around the desert. Think about that now. You know, we laugh. And you say, take me out of this job. I don't like being around these people. 6 months. I've had it. I don't want to be around these people. 40 years? 40 years they were around a bunch of negative folks. And they were not deterred. They were delayed. It didn't hinder from going in. Those folks died in the desert. Wandering around. They all died. Not Joshua and Caleb. They were delayed, but they went in and took the land, didn't they? They went in and took it. And he said, I'm just as good as I was 40 years ago. In his 80s. And so it's important that when you're around people, and that's why we make every effort to not let negative rule in a setting, especially in a corporate setting. Because if the majority doesn't hook up, we're not going anywhere. That's why the prophecy, when Brother Copeland spoke this at the inaugural, it was in September of 1985, because I went back and looked at it. I'm not going to read it. But he prophesied in that meeting and said, oh, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big? He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. So he said he'll do that here. And he said he was going to do it in other churches in the world. But he said, This church, I'll do it here if you'll let me. That means we have a part to play. We can hinder that and not desire it or not pursue it or not want it. And so, just like when God said, go in and take the land. See, God, I believe, is marching us down a path here. And I'm absolutely convinced He was saying, what are you doing here in this small place? I believe God has designed and destined and given the land of the Nanuet Mall. I'm convinced of it. I'm absolutely convinced of it. First of all, he bore witness in my spirit. Second of all, even though this place hasn't been filled, it will be filled with people, with money, with singers, with musicians, and then that. And it is going to come. And it's not just for us to say, we got that. It's for the people he's sending. And he is going to send them. And he keeps saying it. But we have to say what he says. We have to believe what he's given us. And not go, how are we going to do that? Just exactly what they said. How are we going to go in and take the land? They got walled cities. They got this. They got that. But my God is well able to do it. And it's going to be no different here. God is going to give us assignments that look like the same thing. Going in to Canaan land. And you've got to say, God said so. Then we're going in. We're going to do it. And that's just one, but on a personal level, whatever God has promised, whatever He has provided for through Christ, you need to take that as yours and not let go. And so often people think, well, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe I'm out of the will of God. See, then you're letting go. You're letting go. How could healing be not the will of God? How could be prosperity not be the will of God? So some of us have let go of some things a little bit too easily and let go of them. So just the same way, we are to walk by faith and not by sight, just the same way that they focused on what they saw when Jesus was walking on the water. It says in, what does it say in the fourth watch? They saw him walking on the water and they thought it was a spirit, and Peter bid him come. And the Lord said, come. And he got out of the boat and he said he began to look at the wind boisterous and he began to sink. Same thing, no different. He began to look at the circumstances. And God already told him, come on, come. You can come. And he was walking on it. Some of us have failed in things because we looked at and heard reports, an evil report, something that's contrary to what God has promised us, and we let go. We let go. We just plain let go. But I'm going to have what God promised me, and I am not going to give in. I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to have what He promised. And I trust that that's the same with you. There's a scripture verse that I was reading a few weeks ago here, and it just kind of bubbled up out of my spirit when I was reading it, and I thought, well, I'll read it again today. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And when I was sharing that scripture, what came out of my mouth was, let us hold fast the profession of our praise without wavering. Because if you're in faith, you are praising. So let us hold fast our praise without wavering. For He's faithful that promised. So in your mouth is death and life. And we need to be boasting. Praise magnifies God, and praise boasts on God. He boasts on God. Now, let me share this. This was a word that came forth last week. And for those that it's for, receive it, because it was a blessing. And this was given last week by Sister Gladys, who was up praying and interceding in the sanctuary. But at the end, she said, I hear this in my spirit. And I shouted. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I will reverse it. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I will reverse it. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it. And God will reverse it. You know what nursing is? You do? Good, I'll tell you what it is. I had one yes. And so, nursing means you keep something in your mind and you keep going over and over and over. I just looked it up in the dictionary. To hold in one's memory or consideration. So you're meditating on it. And rehearsing means to say it again. You're saying it. over and over again. So you're thinking on it and you're talking about it. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't talk about it. Disperse it. What is disperse it? He who says unto the mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say, and you'll have it. And he said, I'll reverse it. Some of us have been nursing and rehearsing and not dispersing. You're talking about it, meditating on it, and as you think about it, that's what you're going to have. That's no different than what the Israelites got. They talked about it and cried in their tents and murmured about it, took up stones to what does it say? They took up stones against Moses and Aaron. But at some point, Caleb said, hush. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. He dispersed it. And eventually, God reversed it. They got in the land. They were delayed, but they got in. Caleb and Joshua did. Praise God. Amen. So I'll just say to you, don't give up. Don't stop in what God has promised you. You praise Him and boast Him and thank Him, and you're going to see and experience and enjoy what God has promised you. I'm going to pick up on Wednesday. There's some things, there's some more things we're going to share. But we'll close for right now. And let's just say this as we leave. I will not nurse it. I will not rehearse the problem. I'm going to disperse the problem. And God is going to reverse the problem. Yep. You know, there's a scripture verse that says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And the New International Version says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. So your face is an indicator of what you're meditating on. And sometimes it looks pretty sad. But a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So what you're meditating on is going to show up on your face. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm going to meditate and think on Him and think about what He's doing in my life, not the problem. It's easy for God to fix the problem. It's easy for Him to correct the problem if we have faith in Him. And take little steps. Take little steps to get to where you need to go. I mean, every person of faith has done that. Your faith needs to be developed. And you'll get there. And you praise Him along the way. That's what the word of the Lord was this morning. Give me thanks and praise along the way. Acknowledge me. Praise me. Amen. Well, we're going to close. If there's any a comment or thought, I believe there's enough here that if you just do this, you'll turn some things around. There's nothing impossible. I don't care. Health-wise, money-wise, I don't care how much the debt is, God can reverse it. I don't care how much, how big the problem seems, it can be reversed. And will be. Some people, you know, it gets more personal. They say, well, no, you know, I'm in good health and I got money, but that husband of mine, forget about it. That's impossible. Or that wife of mine, forget about it. That's impossible. Well, to you it is. To you it is. And nothing is impossible to God. See, some of us need to just get quiet and find out God loves them. They're not impossible. Sometimes what needs to change is you. And the love of God working in us will change anything. We'll change anything. We'll be more considerate. We'll be kind with our tones. We'll be appreciative of the other person. And there's nothing impossible with God. Not at all.